So I want to urge every young person to reflect and realize that there's something that God has put inside you that is waiting to be deposited in this world. And it can only be deposited as you, you know, let it be deposited. It will not be forced out of you. If you don't want to deposit it, you'll actually go to the grave with it.
Yeah.
But if you decide to reconcile with God, with God's plan by giving your life to Christ, that purpose will be revealed and rolled out of you. And there'll be nothing more fulfilling than walking in the purpose that God made you. And guess what? There's every confirmation. The things that God has called you to do just give you this vibe, you know. Nobody can do it like you do. Nobody can work it quite like you do.
Welcome back to Capture the Thought. As always, we have another amazing guest for you. This time we will be talking to a seasoned communication specialist who has years of experience in marketing and media. She's also a woman who truly loves God. Welcome to the show, Pamela Gwanzura.
Thank you so much, Grace. I am honored and truly, truly happy to be on this platform. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, it's an absolute privilege and pleasure to have you with us today. So if there are three things that you're grateful for, what are they?
So the first thing that I'm really grateful for is I'm grateful to be a child of God.
Amen.
That's the first thing, because just this morning I was reflecting and I said to myself, if I didn't have God on my side, or God to talk to about everything that concerns my life, where would I be? So that's my first one. Then the second one is I'm really, really grateful for the family that I have, because they are a strong support structure. And for me, they are also the biggest evidence that God exists.
Really?
Yes, yes. And I was thinking about it also this morning, and I said to myself, wow, you know, what did I do to deserve to be, you know, privileged enough to carry and bring three handsome boys into this world? Then I looked back and I said, it can only be grace from the Lord. Then the third thing that I'm grateful for is I'm grateful just to be alive. And for me, just being alive says to me that there's a purpose and there's a mission why I'm here. And the biggest question that I ask myself every single day is, what on earth am I here for? And that gives me, you know, meaning into how I roll out each day.
That's very profound. That's very profound. So can you just tell us about your background, what life was like for you growing up, your childhood?
So for me, my childhood, growing up, I grew up in a family of seven. And we were only two girls in my family and five boys, the oldest being a girl. And the youngest being the girl. And I was the youngest in my family. But growing up, some of the little rainbows in my journey growing up is that I was just one of those kids that was just born confident and very, very daring. I mean, I remember, I think as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, my family could just say, Pam, get up. And in Shona, they would say, Pami sumuka, umbo titambira. And they would just sing a song. And as long as, especially patenge trukumusha pepe, as long as I could see my shadow on the wall, I had no problem. I would dance away and just have so much fun while they'll be giggling and, you know, just thinking, wow, this child is just very bold. You know, so those are some of the interesting things. And growing up, I remember even in my early junior school, the teacher would just say to the class, I want one of you to come up and tell us about your holiday. And before she even finished that sentence, I would be up there telling her, telling the whole class what we did, and, you know, without even thinking twice. So that's something that's really stood out for me in my childhood. But one of the biggest things also that I want to just highlight is I had a family that was very caring, and my mom always taught us that it's important for us to be united no matter what. So she had an illustration where she would break one crystal sweet, just one, and then make the whole family pick a piece. And I've passed that idiom on to my children, you know, that unity is important and love is important. No matter how little, you can spread that love around. So, yeah, those are just some of the key highlights of my childhood growing up.
That is beautiful. We can see why you were drawn to media then. That passion for arts and just storytelling was already there when you were young.
That's right.
And so how did you decide to follow Christ? What made you make that decision?
So what made me make that decision is that at junior school, I was in boarding school in Chansala Primary, which is in Mutare. My mom had just passed on when I was about 11. So just after her passing, I was moved from Donnybrook School, which was in Mavuku where we stayed. And my sister had taken over looking after me. So she decided to put me in a good boarding school. So that was in Mutare in Chansala. And so at Chansala, we had scripture union that was coined under the name Busy Caterpillars. And so they would come, once every week we'd meet and they would teach us things. It was just a colorful breed of teachers that were fun, and they would teach us about God. And it was then that I became curious and really said, there must be, you know, a God, and I want to know this God. And that's how I gave my life to Christ at the age of 12.
Wow. And yeah. So how did that impact your sense of self, can I say? How did that transform who you are as a person?
I think for me, the biggest thing is that, one, it took away the blame game that I had, because one of the things that I struggled with at that time was, you know, why did God take my mom away? You know, being the last born, I was very close to her. And I just, and then just straight after her passing on, of course, my sister had my future in mind and she put me in a boarding school. But as a child, I felt like I've just lost my mom. I've just lost my family too. I'm in a completely different new town. Lord, why? You know, so I had a lot of whys around what was happening in my life. But as I, you know, tuned into God, there was a new perspective in terms of how I looked at life. I just found this comfort that said, I wasn't a mistake.
Wow. That's beautiful.
I was not a mistake. And this piece inside me that said, even though my mom had died, there was something more that was inside me that was there to be offered to the world. And so just tuning into God gave me a sense of purpose and direction. And I remember that very first year in Chancellor, I went there not being a swimmer or as much of a sports person because of where I was coming from. But that very year, that very term that I started there, I was able to learn how to swim, swim so well, and then start swimming for the school. That same year, I was able to learn tennis and start playing first team for the school. I learned hockey and I started playing first team hockey for the school. And I became, you know, one of those people who would travel with the school. That's how I got to go to towns like Chipinge, Rusape and other towns. And so there was just a new lease on life that was unleashed in me. And yeah, I'll never forget just that transformation. It was like a new blooming that was birthed in me.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. It was like hope being restored, I guess.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Wow. And so more onto what you do now. How did you get your start? What made you decide you wanted to go into media, you wanted to go into marketing? Mm-hmm. How did that unfold for you?
So for me, because of that background that I spoke about, you know, where I was just very confident and not, you know, the opposite of shy, it was very easy for me to see whatever I was going to do in life, I needed it to be something where there was going to be constant interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I was also the kind of person now in high school, I would go for Christian camps like the Youth Encounter, you know, which was an annual camp. And usually such a camp would have 700 people or 500 people. But I can tell you that each camp that I would go to, I normally would go like alone. I wouldn't even be ganging up with friends. But I would come out of that camp knowing at least 70% of the people in that, you know, who were the campers. And key thing, that unshyness would just always creep in. So I was not the kind of person who would wait for somebody to come and introduce themselves. The nearest person to me, I'm Pam, you are? Oh, and I was just so good as well at remembering the names. So rest assured, the next day I would have literally 10 or 20 friends because I would go from this group to that group and I'm just fitting in. And yeah, so I was just that social butterfly, and I knew I needed to take a direction that had marketing in it, that had communication as the centerfold of it.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's how I pursued marketing as a career. I also did, you know, school in media, you know, just a qualification in media. Then I also just did a general qualification, which was my executive master's in business administration, which kind of like just, you know, incorporated the whole business manifold. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And so how would you say you've seen God's hand through your journey in that space?
Okay. So in the journey of my career, I would really say that God has orchestrated just amazing, amazing divine meetings in terms of the arenas that I've been able to grace, you know, to, you know, that kind of networks that I've been exposed to. They're nothing short of divine encounters. In my career, I've been able to sit on boards that are really, really high level. I've been able to work with NGOs that are high level. Like in Botswana, I worked closely with the UNHCR, which was a refugee-centered NGO. And I was significant in pushing the agenda of the refugees in terms of their social side.
Mm.
You know, coming up with little clubs that could be introduced in the Dukwi camp. Like one that stands out is a little group that we started, which was called Girls Leading Our World.
Okay.
You know, where girls could just find pride and, you know, purpose and meaning and be proud to be a girl, you know, and we pushed that agenda quite a bit. But also, Grace, I'm grateful that I've seen the hand of God. He's opened doors in my career where I've been able to travel the world. I've been to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Mauritius. I've been to Uganda. I've been to, you know, several African countries. I've been to United States, Hollywood even,
you know.
Yeah, and that has just, for me, every morning I wake up, wherever I am, I wake up and I say I'm going to school because every day there's something new to learn.
Yeah. Yes.
So with each exposure in terms of my travels, I would always come back with a new perspective on something.
Mm.
And so I would really say that when I look back on my career, God has been a main centerpiece in orchestrating very strategic divine meetings to meet, incredible people, high-level people. And what I can tell you, Grace, is that the highest of the CEOs, they have red blood. And they're just human beings like the rest of
us. Like the rest of us.
Yeah. And I've had that privilege to meet, you know, people at the highest level and relate to them at the same level. And that human centerpiece that connects us as human beings remains the anchor. And I always say that, you know, God is amazing, because when you have God in your life, you don't walk alone. And so even when you walk into a room, and this has been my experience, even when you walk into a room which is so clad with VIPs that you can feel the air still, because each person is feeling like, I'm His Excellency, I'm His, you know.
Yeah.
But when you walk in there and you have God around you, bang, it's like the sunshine has just walked in. And the aura in that room just changes.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen the most serious, tense rooms just becoming lighter and conversational because I've gone in there just by being who I am. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of that verse that, you know, as Christians, we ought to carry the fragrance of Christ, that aura.
Yes.
And so it's beautiful to see what happens when we actually intentionally are in relationship with Him and, you know, we allow Him to transform us.
Amen.
And so, yeah, wow.
That's true.
And so what challenges have you faced along the way? I mean, life is not without its challenges.
Yeah.
So what challenges have you faced and how have you overcome them?
So one of the challenges that I've faced in my career has been the clashing of spirits, you know, where because you believe in God and you have this heavenly host that, you know, surrounds you, you can just be a target by that next person who is not a Christian.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've faced that, because in every place that you go to, in terms of workplaces and, you know, generally wherever you go, there's always one or two forces that are not like you, you know, in terms of, you know, you're not going to find Christians everywhere because we are in a real world. So in my career, I've faced challenges where, you know, I would just be a target of, interestingly enough, Grace, it would be people that are, I report to. And you would think that because you report to someone, you're not a threat to them.
Yeah.
Every time when you do something good, they look good. But I would be a target. And often it would be such that, you know, that person would make you a project and really be out to frustrate you. But what has gotten me through each of such challenges, because each workplace would have at least one person who's like that. And I will tell you that it's really interesting, because in Zimbabwe, it would be a Zimbabwean name, Portia, so-and-so or so-and-so. Then you cross the border. It will just be same characteristics, you know, in terms of a spirit that's just antagonistic towards your spirit. And now it's a Larato or it's a Mahata or it's a, you know, it's a different name. But you can see it's the same spirit. But because you've been able to overcome it in one instance, you've developed the armor to be able to recognize the spirit. One, you know, that's the first thing. Then the second thing is you've been able to now deal with it. So often I would find myself just knowing that, okay, the spirit is back again, you know. So yeah, on my knees every morning before I get into that office. And when I get to that office, I'm speaking, you know, the peace and the blood of God, the blood of Jesus around that office. And it happened, you know, and God would just come in. At the most, God would always give me peace inside. And even when you can see that somebody's trying to be antagonistic here, it wouldn't have the same hurting effect, because it's like you can see your enemy from afar. And so you could even scorn and laugh and say, no, I already know your strategy and I'm ready for you. Mm-hmm. So God then has equipped me to be able to deal with certain issues that could be really big. But because he's given me the girding and the ability to be able to, you know, strategically deal with them, they are now non-issues. So even now, if I just pick it up in a place or an event or whatever that this person is trying to be antagonistic, mm-hmm. I'm very quick to actually just whisper a prayer or retreat and, you know, take the stance that says, you know, I don't need to fight with someone.
Yeah.
Because silence cannot be misquoted.
Yes, so true.
So sometimes you choose to walk away and you choose your battles. But when you have God, he's that antenna that always tells you, you know, do this or do that. Mm. And that's how I've been able to overcome some of those challenges.
Wow, that is amazing. Mm. And I love how especially you rely on wisdom from God.
Amen.
Because sometimes if we handle these things by ourselves, we say things that, okay, I'm going to show this person. I'm going to show them. I don't want to be bullied.
Yeah, yeah. And the danger with showing them and saying things is that 4 hours later, those words will ring back to you and they won't taste so nice. Now, playing them back, you'll be like, I could have just kept quiet, you know. Was it worth it?
Mm.
And then these days of social media as well, if you are in the middle of showing them, you might not just be showing them, but there might be another little person by the side who's just hitting a nice recording there. Bang, if it goes on social media, you're going to ask yourself, was it really worth it?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of ruins your reputation.
Exactly. Exactly. And you'll never get the opportunity to go back to the millions of people on the internet and say, no, I didn't mean it like that. I actually, you know, it's just that they had started with me. It's too late.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. That's true. Yeah. Okay. And so some know you as Pastor G's wife.
Yeah.
And so what I find amazing about your union is that both of you love God. I mean, it's as if you're purpose partners in a sense.
Mm.
And so how did you manage to find someone who is so in sync with you spiritually and, you know, builds this partnership where you have God at the center?
Yeah. So for me, what was crucial when I was praying for a husband, somehow I just put it, you know how as girls we will have a little list where you're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 qualities, you know. Somehow my list of qualities right at the top was just, I want somebody who knows God.
Wow.
That was my top list. And somehow the other stuff was almost like shadowed. And my main emphasis was on God. And my key thing in you know, praying to God for such a partner was really to say, Lord, if I can have somebody who knows you, it means even when we disagree or when we are it's like you've got backup, you know, when that, because you've got a common place, who is God.
Mm.
And so sometimes even when you can't hear each other, but you can both hear God, you know. So that was always my motive to say, Lord, if you give me somebody who really loves you, I will never have to be, you know, worried about certain things, because I know you will always be the one managing us both. Yeah. So for me, that has been, that has been quite interesting. And also, you know, the fact that I'm Pastor G's wife is a nice to know, but it's not a big deal, you know, to me. And I'm always joking with my friends and saying, yeah, I'm Pastor G's wife, but
that is true.
That is basically to say, look, as Pamela as well, I've got my own purpose and my own journey that God has called me to. So I don't need to lift up the card that says, you know, when I arrive at a place, I'm Pastor G's wife, so I deserve some special recognition and treatment. No, no, no. I'm just a simple girl like that, you know. And so I like to go around in terms of identity, I like to go around as Pam Gwantsura. And there's always that one friend, maybe if I'm at a speaking engagement and I'm done and all that, who will come on the podium and say, "And by the way, guys, did you know that she's..." You know,
yeah.
But first, hear me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's got nothing to do with titles. Hear me, know me, see me, you know, because as me, I have a message to give.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And so for those who are aspiring to get married, which is a lot of young people, how have you preserved that union for years in an age where people are just jumping out of marriages and, you know, getting tired and getting into multiple relationships and all of that?
Yeah. So my advice to you young girls is that I want you to be very astute and very clear as you consider marriage. The first thing is that, Grace, marriage is not temporary. It's long, okay? And it's permanent. And so don't get into it just for intimacy, because intimacy will reach a point where it's not a big deal, you know. Get into it for a friendship, okay? A friendship that is solid, because if you and your partner can be friends, guaranteed you're going to be meeting challenges. There's never a marriage that is like, "Oh, from day one, now we've been married 70 years. Not a single day have we seen a problem." No, no, no. You will meet challenges. But if you are friends, I can guarantee you that you'll work through even the challenges, even the hard times. You will find a way of saying, "Hey, you know what? I know we don't have food today, but we've got half a packet of spaghetti. I'm going to count 8. You eat 8 and you make a joke out of it, but you live through it, you know. So one clear thing I want to say to the young girls is that be very intentional about marriage and do your research about that person that you are setting eyes on for marriage. And be very transparent with each other before you actually say, "I do." There's too many discoveries that come in after "I do."
Yeah.
You need to unpack as many of them before you say, "I do." Because on the other side of "I do," you've got so many laws around you. "Till death do us part." And now you're very unhappy, but you've just discovered that, hey, this person is not actually the person that I thought I was marrying. So do as much expose in terms of digging information about that person before you get married. And then I also want to say, should you get married and you discover that really there's no joy in that marriage and you are dying in that marriage, because now we always say, Grace, if you are living in a place where your purpose is being propelled, then you are good, because, you know, who knows how long you have to live. But if you're in a place where your purpose is being unfolded and propelled, you're good. But if you are in a place or in a marriage where your purpose is being stifled, and before you know it, you actually are asking yourself, "Who am I? What is my name? What is my purpose?" Then truly that marriage, you know, there's a problem with it. And so for me, when I think about marriage, Grace, I'm not an advocate that says to you, "Just stick it out. Gomera uripo." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's not working out, your purpose and who God created you to be and the contribution that He created you to make to this world is more important, walk away. And if you are in a marriage that is grossly abusive and you're losing yourself and you've become used to being beaten up, but for the sake of what will people say, you're sticking around, you could end up being buried in a coffin. I mean, you're going to end up in a coffin, otovigwa because wangochingirira. And it,
yeah.
So I advocate that ukaonota hazvisikuita, because yes, we are human, and sometimes you will make a misjudgment and you end up in a marriage isiri kuita. You cannot just kungoshingirira.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are certain levels where you need to walk away. And then there are certain levels where you can get counseling and be back on the same page. But the crucial thing is, it's not an institution like a prison. Somebody even said, develop chivele, so that you don't feel the pain.
Okay.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So, but my thing is, all that can be avoided if you do enough due diligence. Mm. Talk about anything, Grace. And everything from finances, how you will handle your finances and how you handle your children. How many children do you want to have? What career paths do you want to have? How are you going to support each other in your different careers? Because some girls have gotten into marriage and then just suddenly been told, oh, your workplace ends here, madam. You're no longer working. I'm the father of this house. Chi-chi-chi. But that was never revealed to you before you got married. So due diligence is important, and get as much information and as much help from others who've walked the journey, so that you are forewarned and forearmed.
I love that. It is so important to do that research at first, because when you're in a relationship, you're seeing stars, you know, you're seeing the sun, the moon, and you tend to forget about the more crucial details of it.
Yes,
and exactly. So that is an important reminder.
Amen.
Yeah. True. And so you wear a lot of hats. You're a career woman, your wife, your mom, you're a daughter of God. How do you balance all of these things? How do you find the balance, of lack of a better word, the balance between all of these?
Yeah. So, yes, you are right. I wear a lot of hats. But the way I balance, Grace, is really to take everything in stride, one of the key things that I try to do each week is to basically look at what's on my plate and then outline it according to the different days, and then I do my best to actually tick as I go in terms of the tasks that are there before me. I'm also a consultant for several companies. And so I've got to allocate time for each company that I consult for. In the same day, I've also got to allocate time to be with my family. In the same day, I've also got to allocate time just to breathe a little and exercise, you know. So it's all about being intentional and planning. And so for me, when I've done a plan for today, for Wednesday, I try to stick to that and tick as I go. Because without that, you can get so overwhelmed that you actually do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, that's how I strike that balance. And then I make sure that I'm very, very intentional as well about just spending time, even with my friends, you know, with my girlfriends. Just go out for a meal or go out, you know, to just catch a breeze. And I find that very therapeutic, you know. Just having a moment where you're out, you're not discussing anything serious. You're meeting for an hour or two, but 80% of that time you're just laughing and having a good time. For me, that's therapy. And it just doesn't happen on its own. I plan for it, and I'm very intentional about it, and I invest in it.
It's because it can be so easy to burn out, especially if you don't take time out for yourself as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so as we wrap up, what words of advice would you have for our young listeners? What can you say to them to encourage them?
Young people out there, we are riddled today with a crop of young people, from some of my observation, Grace, who are very entitled. And I've even heard some of them asking the question, I didn't ask to be born, you know? My mom or my dad should have consulted me before deciding to have me. And so I'm here. I deserve this. I deserve that. I don't want to hear that they don't have it. So I want to say to all the young people, your parents were once young, just like you. And they came onto this earth the way you came onto this earth. So recognize that, one, you didn't come to this earth with a manual. They've had to figure you out as you have been growing at every stage. And they are doing their best to bring out the best in you. Take time out to be grateful that you have parents. There are so many kids out there who don't have parents. And I want to just drive the point home that none of you young people out there just landed or you are here by mistake. None of you. It doesn't matter if you come from a single mother or, you know, you're being raised by a single dad. It doesn't matter your circumstances. What I can tell you is that you were part of God's plan. And because you were part of God's plan, before you were even in your mother's womb, he already knew that today you're 17 years old. When you turn 27, you're going to be some hotshot CEO driving the biggest Porsche and making a difference in the world through your contribution. So I want to urge every young person to reflect and realize that there's something that God has put inside you that is waiting to be deposited in this world. And it can only be deposited as you let it be deposited. It will not be forced out of you. If you don't want to deposit it, you'll actually go to the grave with it. But if you decide to reconcile with God's plan by giving your life to Christ, that purpose will be revealed and rolled out of you. And there'll be nothing more fulfilling than walking in the purpose that God made you. And guess what? There's every confirmation. The things that God has called you to do just give you this vibe, you know. Nobody can do it like you do. Nobody can work it quite like you do. Because it's your gift. Yeah? So young people, I want to tell you that each of you is special to us and in the eyes of God. You have a purpose. Walk in your purpose and let God be your first port of call, because without him, you wouldn't be here on earth. But you're here today. Make it count. Run away from all this business of drugs. If you've got company that's drawing you towards drugs, just leave them and choose those that are going to draw you towards things that build you up. And above all, just know that there's no one else with a fingerprint like yours. That's how special you are. And so don't waste yourself. Make it count. Make your life count. Yeah, those would be my words to the young people.
Wow, such wise words. I hope the people who are listening are taking this to heart and actually being intentional about spreading what God has given them. I truly hope that's the case. And so thank you so much for joining us and for depositing these pearls of wisdom. It has been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Grace. And let me also just say, it's such a joy to see you using the gifting that God has given you.
Thank you.
May your gifting make room for you to stand before kings. May we read about you. May we, you know, I'm so privileged that I'm next to you. The next time I might have to go through a guard or, or a PA.
Hopefully
just
not.
To see you, girl. But may the Lord just open doors for you that are beyond your imagination, beyond Zimbabwe, beyond Africa, in the world, out there. May the name Grace spell light and hope.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm such humbled. I'm so humbled by this blessing. It's wow, thank you. And so we have reached the end of the episode today. Stay safe. And until next time, goodbye.